In the Know is powered by the Minnesota Daily. Listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome back to In the Know.
Breaking down the used news.
We're your hosts. I'm Mariah King.
And I'm Luke Diamond. And together we are known as the King of Diamonds.
But only on the weekends.
Speaking of the weekends, there's been a pretty drastic policy change, not just at University of Minnesota, but at universities across the country that could affect the way some people's weekends unfold.
That's right, Luke. Hard alcohol has been banned from fraternities nationwide in an attempt to prevent overconsumption by students.
Wow, just when you thought there couldn't be more crushed Bud Light cans on a lawn, this happens.
So what else is going on around campus this week, Luke?
Well, speaking of campus organizations that know how to have a wild time, the Board of Regents just announced that they are choosing a different presidential search firm to find President Kaler's successor. The original search firm that they'd chosen, it was discovered, had failed to fill a position they were hired to find a successor for at the university before.
Speaking of failing, the U recently revised their grading scale so that letter grades more accurately reflect the work students put into their assignments.
Okay, but does more accurately reflect mean that it's going to be harder to get a high letter grade?
You know, Luke, I can see how you would think that, but rumor has it, it might be easier to get better grades.
Oh, interesting. So professors are actually thinking now that it might be easier for students to get a higher letter grade in their class based on the revised system.
That's what we've heard.
Well, that is welcome news to me, because let me tell you, my math grades aren't too strong. This calls for a celebration. We should order some pizza.
Just not Papa John's.
Why not? Why not from Papa John's?
Papa has left campus.
Papa's left campus?
Papa has left his last two remaining locations on campus and is set to be replaced by Oath Pizza, a customizable pizza restaurant, by this winter.
Oath Pizza? But an oath can't give you a hug. An oath can't tuck you in at night.
I don't think the rest of us were as close with Papa John as you were.
No, I actually wasn't that close with Papa John's either. Bye! Okay, let's get down to the real episode today. Get down to the real good stuff, Mariah. What do we got?
This episode will warm your heart, rejuvenate your soul, and just maybe help you get through the rest of the week.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I need some help getting through the rest of the week. Okie dokie, let's dive in.
Today we are sitting down with staff reporter Lou Blank, who covers the St. Paul campus and public health beats for the Minnesota Daily.
Lou wrote a story this week about a University of Minnesota class that's a little unusual.
But unusual in a good way.
So the course is taught by Professor Lucy Dunn.
So the class is about designing products to be manufactured. So every week they pass their work to a different student and they take work from somebody else. So they're trading off, they're working collaboratively on every single product that we produce. And then they prepare that for mass production and then we execute a mass production process.
But what's unique about this design course is that it also operates as a charity.
So the university has partnered with this orphanage for girls in Uganda called the Blue House. It's a girls' orphanage and it takes girls that would otherwise be in a very desperate situation in Uganda and gives them a slightly better way of life. You know, they don't really have running water. The little electricity they get is from solar panels. So it's not, you know, a first world, you know, Western type of experience, but it is much improved to what these, you know, orphan girls would be experienced if the Blue House weren't providing the service for them.
So Lou explained to us, the girls at the orphanage will draw pictures of clothing that they would like to wear.
They're typically very vague and not super well defined because they're young girls without training. But they send it to the university at the beginning of the semester, and then the students try to base their clothing designs off of what the girls have designed, which is incredible.
Depending on the phase that we're in the project, they could be drawing on paper or they could be drawing on the computer.
Oftentimes the class attempts to cater the clothing designs to the specific needs of the girls at the orphanage.
They could be making a pattern on paper or a mannequin or on the computer.
Typically it's hot in Uganda, but in the mornings it can be cool. And the girls had trouble finding slightly warmer clothing for their walks to school at 7 a.m.
We do fit sessions, so we'll bring in industry professionals to do the fitting with us. And then at the end of the semester, you'd see, you know, tables piled high with many, many plies of fabric, and we cut them with really big knives, really deep stack of fabric. And then they would go into basically factory mode. It would look very much like a small factory.
So they would get fleece jackets or flannel hoodies from the University of Minnesota class in order to meet that need. So it's very specific to the needs of these students.
For some of them, this is the only new clothing that they'll ever get. Most of the clothing market in Uganda is secondhand clothing from the U.S. So to have something that's brand new and was made just for them is pretty special.
Lou spoke with Ian Harris, a junior design major who's enrolled in the course, and he talked about why he's excited for it.
I'm super excited to see all the girls wear the things that we've designed and that we've made for them. It's going to be, like, super rewarding because a lot, like I said, in previous years, you're kind of focusing on your own kind of creative projects that are more for show and not necessarily function, but we get to, like, make these dresses for these girls, and I'm, like, super excited to, like, see pictures of them, you know, when they first get them and then wearing them around every day. So I can't wait to, like, see people so excited to wear the things that, you know, we've designed and created for them, like, specifically for them.
Professor Dunn agreed.
It's just unparalleled to actually be sending your stuff to somewhere real, you know, to a real person that really is going to get it. You know, it means that it's not just a classroom exercise. They're actually doing something that is valued by other human beings. And I think that that really adds, like, a level of importance and urgency, I guess, to what we're doing. So it means that they really want to do good work because they know that there's somebody waiting for it that, you know, is going to really appreciate it.
I'm just super excited about it because I get to learn more about my field of tech design and how to, you know, source materials and cost everything out and, you know, work with other people on different steps of the design process. And it all comes together at the end and gets to, you know, give these girls something super, super special.
And Lou told us the charity doesn't end there.
And another thing that the university is doing is they're actually sending the layouts and designs of these clothes to the girls so that hopefully in the future they can make them themselves.
One of the Blue House's goals is to prepare them to be able to support themselves, you know, when they graduate. And sewing and making clothing is a way that, you know, is very accessible to support yourself. So they have, inside the Blue House, they have a, you know, a woman who teaches sewing classes to the girls, but also to the broader community. Those girls are watching our older girls, our university students go through their training, and they can kind of understand more about the process and the kind of jobs that exist and the kind of studying that you would do if you wanted a career in this industry.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's not only a gift for now, but also like a little token of inspiration for whatever they decide to be when they grow up.
Exactly. The hope is that this is a window for them to be able to enter the textile production process as a source of employment and for them to learn how to sew and design clothes and that whole process.
In their, like, brochures and their materials that they send out, like, we can kind of pick out every little dress and garment that we sent them, and it's just super rewarding to, like, have our work that we're learning that can help us in whatever career that we do. It's kind of win-win for everybody.
That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.